Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. This fine Saturday morning, just past 8 o'clock, my name is Johnny Wright, all day long, actually. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Appreciate it very much. Coming up on the radio program, well, Mid-American Energy has always been one of my idols from a customer service standpoint, and they maybe don't come to mind right away for you, but nobody spends more money, more focus, more customer service training than Mid-American Energy. J.D. Power's award winners year after year for customer service and satisfaction. It's especially amazing because they really don't have any competitors. Really, you can use Mid-American or you can burn like trees and junk. And, you know, most of us will go with that first one. Well, Claudia Newman is one of the reasons why they're so good on the other end of the phone. She's the manager of the call center operations for Mid-American. She's going to join us later on this morning. Also, how is the customer service overseas? If you've been over there, you may have a sense. For us schleps who can't afford to do so, we don't know. We're just guessing. Well, Sally Case is a retired French teacher from the Ames School District, lived in France for a while and has been over there dozens of times. She's going to give us some insight, at least in how it is in France. And you think you may know, and I think I know, but I think Sally really knows. She's going to give us some surprise stuff. Also, if you think social networking is just for people under 30, well, us old farts are catching up quickly. Research out on Friday, the Pew Center says that the group from 45 to 65 is the fastest growing, like jumped 80%, some crazy thing. And we're going to talk about why that's important, particularly to business owners who are not on Facebook or Twitter and do not have a viral presence. Because, listen, it ain't just for kids. You know, we're all going there anyway. We might as well get on board now while the getting's good. Your weather forecast, boy, getting good all weekend long. Sunshine, 87 today. A little bit windy, southerly wind up to 23 mile per hour. If you're a guy with a toupe, you're going to have a windy toupe alert, or the comb-over thing is just, nah, unless you got a lot of hairspraying out helmet head, you're really not going to have a good day. Tonight down to 63. 88, a little bit warmer on Sunday to close out a very beautiful weekend, and then back into the work week Monday, 89. So even warmer. No chance of rain in the forecast mentioned until about Tuesday night. So we are good and dry and a pretty one out there right now at 63. And this radio program, as you listeners who have been listening for a while know, is a lot about secret shopping businesses and how those businesses do on those secret shopper visits. I randomly select businesses each week, in fact, to secret shop on my own. No one asks me to do it. They don't pay me to do it. I just goes and does it. And then I post those results in something called the unsecretshopper.com. That is my blog. It's where I write up that and other pieces from time to time. Please visit www.theunsecretshopper.com. This week, the focus was American TV. They are located in Johnston on 86th Street. They are one of 15 stores in the American TV and Appliance big box family. They're headquartered in Madison, Wisconsin. They were started in 1954, and my suspicion, although I couldn't get any background on this in time, but my suspicion is that like most big box stores, Americans started with this dream, this thing, this seed of an idea. Hey, let's sell stuff and do a great job of selling it to people, make them happy, and they'll come back and buy more stuff. Typically, that's how great ideas start, and they germinate, and they become bigger and bigger. The key, though, is as companies grow and become big box stores, do they maintain that level of customer service and interaction that they started with? That's the great challenge. As I tell business owners, do you want to hire clones of you or are you hiring faded copies? What is your staff about? What are your people about? And of course, we want clones of us with that joy and that engagement level that most business owners start businesses with. Not all. For a little insight into Americans' commitment to customer service, you can go right to their website. It's right there, and it says the following, quote, American has built a market-leading reputation for exceptional customer service. Says it right there. It's even like got quotey things around it. And right beside it is a picture of a woman with a big smile on her face opening the door at an American store. And on the front of the door, it says welcome in huge block letters. Well, I mean, you know, case closed. I don't even think I need to go and check it out. Clearly, American has things under control. Employees are smiling, they're greeting, they're engaged. I'm figuring the five pillars of great customer service that I teach are omnipresent. You get it from the front of the store to the back, because there's a lot of, at least the marketing, right, is telling us that. And you know, marketing doesn't lie, does it? Well, that's why we send me in. I guess we don't really do that. That's why Johnny goes in, to make sure that companies are living up to the promise of their marketing. That's at the foundation for my company, the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, which is a customer service training and secret shopper company. I went in on a Monday, and let me start from the first visit. Starting right out of the gate, as I came into the building, there was an employee. He was clearly an employee, dressed very nicely, a very pretty green shirt. Off to the left-hand side of the entry doors to American, which is sort of an alcove. As you come into American, there's an embankment, an overhang of concrete that sort of filters into the doors. And so a bit of an echo chamber there, I would call it. Well, off to the left along the wall itself, facing west, was turned out to be Ben, who is an employee there, talking with another person who was very casually dressed. And I don't know if Ben was smoking. It looked like he may have been. The employees were kind of in that place where employees sometimes go to smoke, which, of course, is not a good place right out front. And then I heard someone say, "I drank 5 gin and tonics, dude," as part of a conversation. So, okay, yeah, probably some better places to have that conversation than right out there in an echo chamber where the entire public can see you and hear you. When I got inside the store, American has, they have a greeter. It's set up as part and parcel of their process. And Christopher, you know, didn't really do a particularly good job, did not smile, did not catch my eye and engage me and look me in the eye. He said hello, barely audibly, but I didn't feel greeted when I came into American. I think that would be an adequate way to put it. Ned, later on in the store, did a nice job as I walked toward the back. Smiled, greeted as I walked past, did a nice hi. And I believed it. It was authentic. Very nice job out of Ned. And that wouldn't be the last time he would sort of do that as I rolled through the store. And then what happened next happened a lot. Employees at American are on their cell phones texting or talking personal calls. It happened over and over and over. And there is nothing more rude than denying a shopper's reality. What do we mean by that? When you and I go into a store and we're walking along and we come up to an employee who is clearly an employee, and that employee does one of two things. They ignore us or they ignore us. There's really only one. You've either got to engage us or you're going to ignore us. Well, employees, at least if they're texting, they have a reason to ignore us. I guess that part is a positive. But denying our reality means denying our existence, denying that we're standing right here in front of you. You are paid to serve us as shoppers. We are here to spend money that goes into your paycheck, that keeps food on your table, keeps the lights on, keeps a roof over your head. And so denying that very thing that you are paid to do, than we expect you to do, rightfully so, is offensive. And over inside that store, I saw came upon employees who were texting on their cell phones or talking on them outright in personal conversations. Extremely rude, extremely irritating. A stare sort of started the ball out rolling that way. She did pop her head up fairly quickly after I was sort of right on top of her and said a nice hi. And how are you? And so sort of saved the day and had a nice smile as she did so. Christopher, remember, he's the store greeter, as I came back around to the front, was on his cell phone texting. Again, he did not see me until I got right on top of him. Then he looked up, looked at me, and then looked back down at his cell phone. over by the big screen TVs, the big ticket items. And American has many of them. Many places are they're going to spend money on furniture. $1,100 table, not uncommon. $2,000 big screen, not uncommon. $3,000 stove, not uncommon. These are all big ticket items. All right. And so you would expect to be glad handled, right? Because American plays in a big sandbox. Let's think of their direct competitors, which would include, who, Best Buy? Sure. Homemakers? Sure. Target, Walmart? Yeah, they're in there too. So they have a lot of competition. Now, from a where they're located standpoint, out there on Northwest 86th, not a lot of stuff. You've got the Dolls out there, and then you've got restaurants, the theater. So not a lot of nearby competition, but hey, you know, we're mobile. We have one of the shortest commute times in the country here in Des Moines. So it's not like, you know, there's a Target not far, so et cetera. The competition is there. And Joe in Big Screen TVs opened with a closed-ended question as I approached him. Anything I can help you with? Again, I'm in your store. I'm a customer. Clearly, I need help. I'm here because I need help. I want help with stuff. I'm shopping, right? Help me. So don't ask the obvious question. Don't ask a yes or no question. Ask a question that's an open-ended question. Hey, what can I help you with? What can I help you find today? You're in big screen TVs. You look like a man who's looking for a big screen TV. I'm here to help you with that. Let's go look. What's your name? Here's mine. Boom. Explode. Get into them. Right. But it's passive, and it's... Also, Joe didn't smile, didn't introduce himself or ask for my name at any point during a lengthy conversation, which probably lasted 15 minutes or so. He did do a nice job of talking about comparing LCDs with LEDs and plasma. Product knowledge, not a problem with Joe or anyone at American. And typically, that's never the problem. But I'll tell you what, I'll take people who don't know their products in return for better customer service, glad handling, smiling, more engagement, more friendliness. I'll take it in a heartbeat because all that stuff that you all know, anyone can learn. It's written down. It's by rote. It's left brain process driven. That means anybody can learn it, but what is a talent is being friendly and engaging and nurturing and loving and wanting to help people. That's a talent. And you hire happy, you train skills, or else you get what happened in American. And if I'm being particularly tough on the staff at American today, it is because this experience was one of the worst I have ever had in any retail setting. And that deserves a little more pointed talking to you this morning about the experience. Joe also had his dress pants down about 4 inches too low, inappropriately dressed. What he was wearing was nice. It just he needs to hike his pants up. This is putting on your big boy pants to sell big ticket items. Levi and Dan both ignored me as I hung around them. Levi finally said, anything I can help you with, like I was bothering him while he was working at a checkout area and on a computer. Probably not the right attitude to give a customer. And then the stud of the day, the customer service bright spot at American was Marty. Over in appliances. He was awesome. Marty smiled and he engaged and he shook my hand and he listened to my questions and he responded with really smart, fun answers and little analogies and used metaphors like this thing in this fridge works like this thing. It's like a kangaroo with a pouch. It's a kangaroo with a pouch. I get it immediately. Sure. Awesome. Amazing work by Marty. He had a showman's flair, is how I best way to describe it. And then he would show little surprises inside this particular refrigerator we were looking at. And he said, oh, look at this. Oh, look what this does. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. Listen, I live in an apartment. I was ready to buy the fridge. I didn't know where I was going to put it. Awesome, awesome, amazing. He's one of the best I've ever had been engaged by in any retail setting. Wow, what a standout. Two missteps. He didn't introduce himself until the end. Didn't get my name until the end. I'm sure Marty reads this review and says, don't. Yeah, just a missed opportunity there. And then the most delicate issue ever that you ever have to have a conversation with an employee is this one, and it is hygiene. It is particularly breath. tough discussion. I've had to have them. People have had them with me. All right, I understand that. But when we're in sales or in retail, we talk a lot. We're bringing up air out of the bowels of our bellies. And, hey, listen, the contents of our stomach, you know, if you could travel into your own gut, it's probably not the most pleasant experience you're ever going to take. There are probably better vacation spots. And Marty, I'm guessing, is a cigarette smoker and a coffee drinker. And not because I saw him sipping on a Starbucks and smoking a Kool's. So, again, personal hygiene is a big one. And I know Marty, if he read it, he got it, he dug it. And every employee who engages customers should have a toothbrush and toothpaste somewhere. It's pedestrian, it's elementary, it's sort of embarrassing, and it's real, and it works. And you'll sell more stuff and make more money as a salesperson if you just follow personal hygiene and grooming habits. So Willie, on my way out, was now in the position of greeter. He was also texting. Apparently, there is something about that position in that building that just compels. In fact, I went over and stood there, and I thought, you know, I suddenly feel like texting someone. I didn't have my cell phone or else I would have. So that ended that particular dealio, round one, trip one. Quickly to round two, which is the worst round. That was bad. This got uber bad. I came in with Carol, who gave me one of the most lukewarm greeting. It wasn't a greeting. Without even looking at me, she's looking down at a desk and a piece of paper. She said, hi. And it was the most ambivalent, uncaring hi I've ever heard in my life, without looking at me as I came in. So if she's the greeter, she needs to be fired immediately and at least put in someone who will text and greet me and at least look up. Ned, again, saw me, smiled, very nice, said hi. Then he said, anything I can help you find? So closed-ended question. That's not optimum. Very pleasant man. Then as I'm standing in appliances, one of the two worst moments of the entire shopping experience, I heard a voice, which turned out to be Jeff, say, really yell across the store to another employee, who turned out to be Scott, I was working on a $10,000 sale, and then it got snatched. Unquote. Jeff was the manager on duty that night when he yelled across the store at Scott, yelling about a $10,000 sale that apparently someone had stolen from him, and I'm assuming another employee. That's a nuclear bomb going off. And then there was later trouble when Carol, who hadn't greeted me, saw me in, well, she sort of had, but then in beds, I was over in the beds, and she came over and started engaging me fairly warmly, a little aggressive. But then a woman named Meadow, M-E-T-T-O-W, who had greeted me in the first trip through in beds, came over, and there was this bad exchange of vibe between Carol and Meadow. It wasn't a verbal exchange, but Carol saw that Meadow had been helping me earlier in the day, and so Carol stomped her foot down and turned and walked off, PO'd to the max. Absolutely offensive, and most customers walk out at that point. But my job is to continue walking through, and so I did, and Meadow followed me. Meadow followed me throughout the store over and over. She shadowed me. I was looking for a place I could get a restraining order. I should have texted to my lawyer. Everybody else was texting. So that was offensive. She wouldn't stop following me, even when I repeatedly said, you know, I'm just browsing, I'm killing time, I'm waiting for my girlfriend, etc., whatever. So that was offensive. And then what else happened? Boy, and then and back in the back room in the home theater section, the stereo was cranked, and the staff was leaving it cranked up offensively. And frankly, the music was horrible, too. And no one was back there listening to it. Someone had just turned it up and left it, and the employees were ignoring it and allowing that to go on. I went back into big screen TVs. Scott did a nice job of engaging me. This is a different Scott than was having the exchange with Jeff. But he did ask me, anything I can help you find? Another closed-ended question. And then I came upon the second most offensive moment of the entire shopping experience when Muhammad was having a conversation with Ben. Two employees. Ben was perhaps the smoker, and Muhammad was a guy working in cameras. And they were having a conversation sort of over the top of this area where customers would walk through. They were sort of shouting over one to each other, over the top of customers while they ignored the customers as we sort of walked through their verbal gauntlet. It got uber offensive later when Ben and Muhammad, as I was leaving the store, I was sprinting out of it, frankly, by this time, when Ben and Muhammad were catcalling after Astaire, who had been texting in the first trip and doing this and saying offensive, sexist things as she walked past with an easy earshot of me. And that's sexual harassment. There's no other way to put it. It was offensive. It's how the day ended, the night ended, and it couldn't have ended fast enough for what was, without question, the worst shopping experience I have ever endured. And I've endured big time bad. So the people at American have a lot to account for. End of story. Jason Young is the general manager of American TV. He wrote me this email. It starts out, Mr. Wright, thank you for providing me with feedback regarding your recent shopping experience in our store. I will be reviewing the info into our customer relations specialist and with our consumer relations specialist in our corporate office. We will be in contact with you by the end of the day on Tuesday. Respectfully, Jason Young. Jason, appreciate the feedback. I look forward to what y'all have to say on Tuesday. Clearly, the inmates are running the asylum at American TV and Appliance. There is no other way to put it. And I hope that providing this insight into your staff and providing the insight into corporate at American maybe can change that, because we all deserve a much better shopping experience. And the employees who are trying to do it and probably feel like there is peer pressure not to also deserve a better working environment. Coming up, whatever the opposite of what I just told you is, that's what's going on at MidAmerican Energy. Going to hear from Claudia Newman, the woman in charge of making sure you and I get a sweet, awesome greeting on the other end of the phone at MidAmerican, even when we're not in a sweet, awesome mood. All that coming up on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 8:21 here on 1350 KRNT. At 8:23 here, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on. On AM 1350 KRNT, smiling, one of the key ingredients, one of the five pillars of great customer service that I teach in the biosphere of the Unsecret Shopper. You can find out all this stuff about all of what we're talking about at www.theunsecretshopper.com. How can you not smile with the forecast like it is? A great weekend ahead of us. And we got jobs and we're making money and we're paying for stuff and things are good. Yeah, things are good. Hire happy, train skills. I'll tell you what, they do that at MidAmerican Energy. And you wouldn't necessarily think, like I said earlier, you know, that doesn't come to mind. MidAmerican Energy, great customer service, probably not the first thing you think of. Yet that's what I discovered. I have discovered, and being a lifelong renter, a chronic renter, if you will, I always thought when I would get my power switched across and to one address to the other or whatever, if I had an issue or a bill thing, I would call in, and the staff at MidAmerican Energy would always handle my call with major aplomb, I think is the right way to describe it. Just kindness and empathy, and I'm here to help you, sort of a sensibility. And Claudia Newman, who is the manager of the call center operations at MidAmerican Energy, is one of the key reasons why they engage so well. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning, Johnny.
Claudia, appreciate your time this morning. Tell me, what does an average day look like for the manager of the call center operations for MidAmerican Energy?
Well, we start our day, first thing, we are never closed. So when we say we start our day, we never stop our days. We're a 24/7 operation. We're here at all time to meet the needs of our customers. And a typical day starts out with kind of touching base with the employees, checking how our call volumes are going. Do we have sufficient staff on the phones? Are we handling traffic like we need to be? And then once we settle into the day, basically we monitor our customer service incoming calls on a regular basis throughout the day to make sure that we're just handling everything appropriately. We have lots of things that can impact our day, including storms, outages, electrical and gas emergencies, because we are a dual service provider. We provide gas and electric in most of our service territories.
Sure. How big of a staff do you have? How many call answerers are there?
We have a staff of about 200 employees.
Wow.
And about 170 of those, 165, 70 are on the phones.
Wow. So at any one time that anyone calls Mid-American Energy, there are over 150 people on the other end somewhere answering a call.
Depending on the time of the day, yes.
Wow.
We are very, very diligent about our scheduling practices. We have a various assortment of schedules. We don't have any part-time, but we're a full-time center. We do 4 10-hour days. We do kind of a mixed shift where you'll work 8 hours one day or 8.5 and then 6.5 hours on a Saturday. We try to optimize that.
Well, I got to tell you, the idea of on the other end of a phone, that is a person's position. These are full-time positions. And the kinds of calls that must come into Mid-American Energy, people upset about their power is off or their billing or their whatever their issue is or their and regardless of what their issue is, if they're in a bad mood anyway, Claudia, I imagine that the people on your end get the brunt of that.
Oftentimes they do, and we are so proud of our staff. We work very hard to keep things positive, to encourage the associate to listen very carefully to what the customer has to say, to understand that every call is different, and that many of our customers are facing hardships of one kind or another. Most recently, in the last couple of months, we've had a lot of storms causing extended electric outages. We've had flooding in some of our service territories. So these customers are dealing with some life-altering events. And our associates are trained and to listen and to look for options, look for solutions for these customers who are really having hard times.
And what I'm hearing from you, Claudia, is a word that I have repeated over and over on this show. It is the key talent, skill set, whatever you look for in people who have great customer service skills, and that is empathy.
Absolutely. Empathy is that rare ability, and I say rare because I think when you do this day in and day out, and we take 65, 70 calls on a normal day per employee. On a very busy day, we can take over 100 calls per employee, depending on the types of situations we're dealing with. And so to maintain empathy and consideration for customers at all times is really a rare art, and this job isn't for everyone. We definitely have a skill set here that we look very hard to find and cultivate.
Well, and Claudia, not to interrupt, but you bring up a point that I really want to focus in on, and that is at the hiring point, because my mantra is hire happy, train skills. You cannot train people to be happy and empathetic, that they either are it or they are not. Do you subscribe to that? And if you do, how do you screen that in the hiring process?
Well, I absolutely subscribe to that. And in fact, we talk about that in our employee meetings all the time, that we have the choice to be happy. And it is probably one of the most important choices that we make when we walk in the door at the beginning of the day. And as to how we screen that out, we have a multiple level of screening and recruiting when we hire for the call center. We have telephone interviews. We are looking for people who have customer service experience. We do a lot of situational interviews. What would you do if, and how have you handled this, and those kinds of things to really draw out those kinds of skills. And then we spend 13 weeks in a classroom using classroom training with combination of seating these new hires with seasoned employees that we call mentors. And that really is, we emphasize from day one, first minute in the door, that you need to be happy and settled into this job. We'll train you everything else you need to know.
My guest this morning is Claudia Newman. She is the manager of call center operations for Mid-American Energy. She joins us this morning on the Unsecret Shopper radio show. All right, Claudia, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. Let's do a scenario. Let's do a little role play. And let's assume you're answering the call, Claudia. Now, Claudia, do you answer the phone still, or are you just on the managerial level looking over those who do?
I'm on the managerial level looking over those who do.
Okay, so but I'm guessing you worked your way up through the ranks and that you did at one time answer phones.
I answered phones. I was in the I have a banking background. I've been in the financial industry for many, many years prior to coming to the call center. Was a teller. Did some face-to-face customer service for many years, so it's kind of in my blood.
Sir, you know it. You got it down. So we'll see what the textbook, what Mid-America, what the book says on this. I'm going to be a caller. I'm going to call in, and you'll answer the phone, Claudia, if this is okay. We'll just play with this a little bit.
Sure.
And I'm particularly looking for certain responses to certain things, and then I'll stop our conversation at that point. So phone rings, ring, 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 ring. You answer it. How do you answer it?
Good morning. This is Mid-American Energy. This is Claudia speaking. How may I help you?
Yes, my name is Johnny, and I just got my power switched over to another apartment complex. It was supposed to be turned on, and it's not, and it's about 10 degrees outside, and we're freezing our keisters off here, and I'm trying to get somebody who can help me with this.
Oh, wow, Johnny. I'm very, very, very sorry to hear that. Let me just get some information about the addresses, and I will check to see how soon we can get a serviceman out to your address.
Okay, well, very good. Let's go ahead and stop there. I want to ask you about a couple things.
Okay.
First of all, the idea, obviously you train people to show that empathy. If someone has an issue, they're in a bad place, they're supposed to demonstrate to say, I'm sorry, or just the human part of them, correct?
Absolutely. And you know, it has to be sincere, Johnny. It has to be from the heart. The worst thing that I think that we encounter is complacency. Or monotone. And those are the things that we coach against all the time. And as you can imagine, when you're taking call after call after call, you almost have to, I use the term reset.
Yes.
At the end of every call, so that whatever happened, good or bad, in that first call or that last call, isn't repeated in the next call.
So yes.
It's extremely important that they have a sincere sense of empathy. I always like to use just a lilt in my voice that says, I'm happy to take care of you today.
And you just brought up a phrase. In fact, I just started utilizing this with clients, and it's not a rocket science, but we'll say, I can help you with that.
Exactly.
Right. It's sort of that, whatever your problem is, we're going to solve it together on this call.
And I think the other thing that we emphasize is listen to make sure that you understand what the customer is really asking. Because we deal with customers day in and day out who are calling about one thing, but the problem is complicated by three or four others.
Right.
The inability to pay, a history of, you know, power outages that are just frustrating to them. You know, they've just lost their job. They're relocating to another area, and it's a happy move. And so there's all sorts of things, and those calls come one after the other.
And I would think that part of it, and what I train on is I say, ask the extra question. Don't assume that you immediately have, oh, I know the answer, I'll plug it in and we'll solve this thing. Keep asking, because like you said, there are multiple lines of people bring in their stuff, and there may be things you can uncover in that conversation.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That is absolutely right, because you can't jump to thinking you know what the customer is calling about. That really is, to me, one of the downfalls in a call that doesn't go as well as you like it to. You haven't listened and gotten all of the facts out on the table at the beginning and then assured the customer that you'd be happy to help them with each one of those situations.
And another thing I would think of, and again, I do this in training, I talk about our R versus our I, our role, who we are to everyone else, our most selfless part of who we are versus our I, our most selfish part, who we are when no one else is around, how I describe it. But I talk about customers, all of us as customers, we shop, we call in our I, our selfish part, and it's up to us as servants of those customers to stay in our role. In other words, somebody says, you blankety blank blank blank, they can't hurt us because they don't know us. And I would think finding people who understand they have a role, and that's to help this person solve their problem, even if that person turns on them, that's a talent, isn't it, Claudia?
It absolutely is. And just to not take these things that are said personally. You know, you've got a skill set, you've got the confidence, you've got the ability, and you put those tools to work to help the customer, and everything else seems to fall in place.
Well, Claudia, you're in the call center is in beautiful Davenport, Iowa, and I know that people are listening here in the Des Moines area who either are transferring or maybe know someone out there, and they think, you know what? Yeah, I'm a really empathetic kind of person. I like problem solving and helping people. I have a warm heart. Maybe they want to become a caller and work for MidAmerican Energy. What's their process to do that?
Well, we hire a couple of classes a year. And we generally advertise jobs.com, those kinds of things we put out. Now, right now, we're recruiting a class using an outside recruiter because we really needed to start a class very quickly. And just look for our ads. We sometimes use Manpower. We sometimes will advertise directly. We used, like I said, Monster Jobs, jobs.com. Quad City Jobs, and we almost always have a very informative ad available for people to respond and a link to send their resume.
And pretty good bennies, pretty good benefits with MidAmerican, I would imagine?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a very robust benefit plan. And I think more importantly is just the security of working for a company that is well-managed and is committed to customer service.
Well, throughout my experiences on every level, and I've had the power turned off and shut off a lot throughout my rental history and career, Claudia, and no one, and I do mean no one, has done it better, handled it better, or been more connective emotionally and through the heart than the people on the other end of the phones at MidAmerican Energy, and you're one of the reasons why, Claudia.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, and thank you so much for your time this morning with
us. You are very welcome.
Claudia Newman with MidAmerican Energy, doing a great job on the front lines. It is 8:38. Coming up, front lines of Facebook and Twitter, one of the exploding social media. You know what? It's for old farts, too. I'm going to give you the latest research numbers and why business owners, if they're not plugged into Facebook and Twitter, do so at their own risk. And coming up later on, also, what's customer service like overseas? We'll talk to a woman who spent a lot of time there who would know. All that coming up. Plus a final word on the American Secret Shopping Trip. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT.
Hey, Mr. Businessman, you're always on the go. You made your fortune, yet you're working harder than ever before.
Put your hair on down, Mr. and Mrs. Businessman. Relax. You got to take some time to enjoy and smell the flowers and all that good stuff, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy. I had someone give me this advice just yesterday. It can get a little obsessive in the biosphere with helping clients help their employees do a better job of helping all of us. Smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, all the parts of the five pillars of great customer service. All this stuff you're hearing about, you can read more about on the unsecretshopper.com blog and training nodules and all kinds of stuff coming up. I talked to a woman who has seen her share of good and not so good customer service overseas in France, where she lived for a while, and also was a longtime French teacher in the Ames School District. We'll talk to her coming up. Also, I do want to mention this. If you think you are an empathetic soul, if you have a great memory, if you feel plugged in, if you feel like you would have made some extra money, and probably I should have led with that. Sure, I buried the lead there. I would love to hear from you. The opportunities for secret shopping are exploding as more and more business owners listen to this radio program and read the Unsecret Shopper blog and begin to understand that the greatest impact they can have on their revenue, on their longevity, on their security is not in their external marketing, but is right at their cash register with their employees. Customer service, A, number one, nothing affects a company's bottom dollar more. Nothing affects employees' happiness, fulfillment, customer longevity, loyalty, everything more than customer service. And that's what the biosphere is all about, improving all of it for all of us. If you think you got the goods, go to theunsecretshopper.com. You can Facebook me, Twitter me, email me, cell phone me, whatever it takes. I want to hear from you because there's great opportunity for you. I'd love to hear from you. Social media, speaking of all of those things, is a tremendous opportunity for all of us to stay connected to Grandpa and Grandma, and I got pictures I want to send you of the little darling, and look, the dog just did this thing. Take a picture and send it to Aunt Mildred. So Facebook is that. It's Farmville. Hey, can you, I need more shovels to plant corn. Can you, Mafia Wars, anybody got any more bullets? So Facebook is all of that fun-loving, time-killing stuff, sure. But it's also something very serious to it. There's also a tremendous opportunity for business owners. And if you're not there, then, man, you are missing the boat. Because in my hot little hand here, research just released on Friday from the Pew Center says that adults 50 to 64 years of age, the use of social networking sites has jumped by 88% the past year. For those 65 and older, it has doubled. Unbelievable. Fastest growing demo from a social media standpoint. Facebook celebrated its sixth birthday in February of this year. Right now, there are nearly 500 million people who use Facebook. There are over a million people on Facebook right now as my little head roars. Imagine that, the power of that, the opportunity of that for all of us. Twitter, same deal, not as big. About 200 million users, depends. About 65 million tweets go out a day. And I know some of you, no matter what the age group, are saying, listen, this, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And I understand that. That's your own personal preference. But if you're a business owner, you better get it, because it otherwise is getting you. And this research by the Pew Center talks about bridging the generation gap. People 50 and over enjoy that part of it. Social networks users are more likely to reconnect with people from their past 50 and over. Older adults more likely to be living with chronic diseases, and those with diseases are more apt to be seeking support online. So they are there. They are in droves. So how does a business owner take that and use it as an opportunity? And this sounds a little bit on the crass commercial side, but it's also real. It's authentic. I have clients who generate revenue, who generate loyalty, who stay connected to their customers using Facebook and Twitter. How do you do that as a business owner? Well, the first thing is you got to get in there and get an account. And I don't mean a company fan page. I mean, you can do that. That's okay. But the most critical part of all of this for business owners is to establish rapport, establish your own Facebook page, and begin to reach out to people. Enjoy the process. Reach out to them. Say hi to them. Greet them. Again, five pillars of great customer service. Smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up. You know, it's not a bad template for social networking either. Don't be put off by what seems to be like wastes of time on Facebook. People just have fun with different things. They create apps. They go in there and they do stuff. And they're just, but they're people on Facebook are consumers. All of us are. We all spend money. We're looking for places to spend our money. And so to be front and center in front of Facebook, I tell presidents of banks, look, if you don't have your own personal Facebook page, and if you're not out there reaching out to people and engaging them and throwing out banking tips and ways to save money and financial stuff and stuff that helps people on Facebook, then you're missing an opportunity. You're missing the boat. Now, a lot of businesses, and those of you and I who are on Facebook see this all the time on Twitter, will use those networks to simply promote their business. Save 10% on a cheeseburger when you mention this Twitter. Over and over and over. And, of course, that's the turnoff. That's what turns Facebook Twitter users off. Some of them will capitalize on those offers. But overall, people are sort of turned off by that crash commercialism. I say, it's, you know, embrace the commercialism, but don't be so crass. Forget that first part. Just softer sell. I call it a soft sell. Be more open to people. Be more connected to them. Because, again, I use this analogy. Do you want to be a fan of Microsoft or a friend of Bill Gates? Most of us would answer the latter, not the former. And so that is the template that I always sell business owners and employees to. Have your employees spend an hour a week on your Facebook page just reaching out to people and communicating, and have employees create their own Facebook pages that are company-based and have a lot of fun with it. That's the number one thing. That's what Facebook and Twitter, social networking is all I remember. The first word is social. That means you talking to me, me talking to you. I've talked long enough. Time to pay some bills. We'll come back and we'll take a look at how customer service is overseas, particularly in France, with a longtime French teacher in the Ames School District who spent a lot of time over in France. Sally Case joins us next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRN.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store.
No matter what you're shopping for this morning, this weekend, I hope you get plenty of smiles, greets, engage, thanks, and follow-up-ins. That's the pillars of the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. It is 8:48 now. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in. You can find all this stuff at theunsecretshopper.com. Weather forecast you can find right here, nothing but sunshine all the way through Tuesday. Highs in the upper 80s, pushing 90. We're at 64 degrees now. Sally Case is a retired French teacher from the Ames School District. Spent a lot of time in France, lived there actually for a while. Here to talk to us a little bit about the level of customer service overseas. Should we expect more or less if we're traveling over there? Sally, how often have you actually been to France?
Well, I used to take my students every year, every spring for 2 weeks, and then I would often go also in the summer on my own or with my husband, and then I lived there for a short while as well. So, gosh, you know, probably 40 or more times, and now since I'm no longer teaching, I try to get there every year. I have very good friends there, and they're very hospitable, and they don't mind when I call up and say, I've got a plane ticket.
Sure, Sally's coming to crash on your couch. Get ready.
Exactly.
And Sally, how would you say to someone in French on the phone, and I'm using an informal language here, but, hey, I want to come crash on your couch. How would you say that in French?
Well, I would probably say, j'ai acheté un billet d'avion pour la semaine prochaine. Est-ce que vous êtes disponible? Est-ce que vous serez à la maison ou quelque part? Something like that.
Wow, and Sally, if you said that to me, I would just say yes to whatever it was. I wouldn't even know what you're requesting.
That's what I want you to say.
Sure, that's what you got it. You got your deal. My guest this morning is Sally Case. She is a retired French teacher out of the Ames High School School District. And Sally, the idea of customer service being different in another country than it is here is, here's the word in the pun, foreign maybe to some of us, because we don't necessarily think, I don't think, about customer service other than in our own four borders. Talk about customer service in France. Is it good? Was it bad? How does it compare to our own?
Well, that's an interesting question because I've often thought and talked about it. First of all, you have to understand that the French in general, I'm speaking in generalities here, they are more concerned with quality of life rather than the bottom line. So consequently, of course, they work, they go to work, but that's not quite as important as the hour or 2 hour lunch time break, their coffee breaks, and their evening. So, you know, they're not quite as driven by the euro as we are by the dollar. I've been before in a bank, and they close promptly at 12, and it's been 5 or 10 till. You walk up to a counter, they see you coming, and they know that probably you're going to take more time past their closing, their 12 o'clock closing, and they shut the gate on you.
Wow.
And yeah, because that's important to them. And likewise, in stores, it kind of depends. Things are changing, you know, over all the many years that I've experienced France, things have changed slightly, but often you don't get terrific customer service. I can't recall really great customer service except in the outdoor markets, which every town has more than once a week, all year long, but those are individuals, not necessarily business owners, you know what I'm saying? And
yes,
they've got their own stuff to sell, and they're usually quite chatty and helpful. You can ask questions. They'll give you recipes, you know, so that's a different deal than in a store. Now, if you're going into a really fancy, expensive store, well, then they'll fall all over you if they think you're going to buy.
If you're going to buy, spend the money. Well,
yeah.
Let me ask, is this statement then true? In general, French people are more focused from a work standpoint on themselves as an individual than thinking about how their interaction may affect the group that they work with, the company they work with, and their customers?
I guess I would say that's pretty much my impression. Now, again, I hate to speak for an entire country or culture, and as I said, things are starting to change. Many big companies, first of all, they're international companies, so they're more adopting kind of an American pattern of how to run a business. And things are, like I said, are gradually changing. Plus, another thing that's changing is something that happened in this country in the 50s and 60s, and that is more women are in the workforce. And so, you know, when both parents are working, it has changed their diet. It's changed their lifestyle. And so, you know, like I said, in general, I think what you just said is probably in their psyche, but things are changing.
Well, and because one of the things, and Tom Franklin from Next Generation Realty has said this, and I train this when I do my customer service training, if there's one word that captures the best level of customer service and what it takes, that's empathy.
And, yes.
And it sounds like maybe the French aren't as empathetic in general as a populace as we are. Am I saying that and meaning it? Is that true?
Well, I think to strangers it is true. Now, if you have a friend, they will go to the ends of the earth to help you, and it's happened in my life. They will do anything they can, and they're the best friends. I have friends that have been extremely close to me for over 20 years now. But I think to just common random strangers, that's probably fairly true. They're in their families, they're close. They, for instance, houses typically have a wall and a gate in front, unlike here where most of our front yards are open to the street. That comes from the Middle Ages when you had a wall around your castle to protect yourself.
Sure.
And they have that psyche of wanting to remain closed in. This is our family. We are protected here. The rest of the world will do what it does, but this is our safe place.
Well, Sally, for heaven's sakes, we're the ones shooting at each other. We're the ones that need the walls and the castles. I mean, the medieval times are over there, baby, you know?
I know. You can so tell Europeans in general from Americans, we've got this big old grin on our face all the time. Our faces are open. We are open. Europeans are much more closed, but that's a historical thing.
Well, for heaven's
sake. You
know,
they're more private.
Yes, yes. Well, I want to run through the five pillars of great customer service that I teach at the Biosphere. I want to just ask you, in a typical fashion, let's say you're going into a French, not a restaurant, but a French gas station. I don't know. Pick your, whatever your retail thing is. I'm going to ask you five pillars. Do they smile at you?
Not always. I would say more often not.
Okay.
Yes.
Do they greet you with a salutation and an open-ended question?
Yes, they do, because it's a tradition, a custom, that when you walk into a store, unless it's like a huge department store, but if you walk into a business, a store, you always greet "Bonjour, Madame," and the person there in charge will say "Bonjour" to you. And when you leave, you always say "Merci, au revoir, Madame," and they will say "Au revoir."
Wow.
So, but that is a tradition, you know. It's not necessarily coming from the heart. It's just what they do.
Oh, listen, fake it till you can make it. I'm good with that. Yeah, I'll take the fake it bake, you know. All right, so they're ahead of us on you're mentioning pillars that I think they're kicking our rear ends here. So smile, yeah, maybe not sort of. Smile to greet. You get greeted and you get thanked at the end. I'm loving that. Do they do a name? Do they get your name and use it in a conversation?
No, and again, here's a custom thing. Unless it's a friend and you know them well, you typically, for instance, my last name is Case, they would not typically say Mrs. Case. They would say Madame, which is like saying ma'am.
Sure. Formal, so a more formal version.
Right, right. Now, unless you were in a business and let's say you were trying to buy a car, you know, something that would be long and drawn out,
sure,
then they would eventually get your name and probably use it.
Let's talk about engagement, the third pillar of great customer service. Asking questions. Let's say it's a car deal. Are they asking you questions about, hey, what do you like in features? What's the car being used for? What are your price points? Typical American car sale? Or are they saying, listen, that's the car, Dodo. Dig it or get out of here. I mean, what's their attitude?
Well, I've never bought a car there or even shopped for a car there. But my guess is, since that's a big ticket item, they would probably engage you.
Gotcha.
However, just the normal way that sometimes they are, and I don't mean in any way to be talking, you know, dissing them, because I love those people, but normally it would kind of be, here's what we've got, do you want it or do you not want it?
I like it. They don't, they're not Brett Favre, they're not waffling on every possible question. All right, last question, Sally, tell me, what's the worst customer service you can remember, having lived in France and visited dozens and dozens of times? What's the one moment, if there is one, that stands out as the absolute worst customer service in France?
Well, I mentioned the thing about the bank, but also I do recall having to almost chase in a store that would be kind of comparable to a Target, a discount kind of department store, having to almost chase someone down. And when you say, excuse me, madame, you're trying to get their attention, they turn away from you and act busy doing something else.
Huh. Are you sure you weren't at American when you shot? I didn't think they had. All right. Well, Sally, thank you so much. Also want to thank Claudia from Mid-American Energy for giving us some insight into great customer service, because it can be good. Have a great weekend. See you.